And now, from the penthouse on the 10th floor of the 10 Magazine building in downtown Itaewon, where we see it all so we can report it to you, it's the 10 Magazine Korean Culture Podcast. Welcome to the 19th annual something? Welcome to the 19th 10 Magazine Korea Culture Podcast. I am Charles Montgomery, and I am joined as usual by...
I'm Danny.
And Paul.
Hi, Charles Montgomery. I'm the host of the excellent www.ktlit.com blog on Korean literature, and Paul is...
the host of the subpar blog, www.paulattachy.com.
And Danny is...
the president of the American Women's Club, and also the wonderful spouse of a military... expat, I guess I would say now.
Expat, yeah, we shall see. Oops.
Yeah.
Oops. And today we're going to talk about a couple of things, probably some shorter conversations than last week, which was a bit, last podcast, which was a bit too long.
For those of you that stayed tuned.
Yeah. We're going to talk about an interesting thing that happened with iOS 6, the Apple operating system, which changed the name of some small island somewhere.
Traitors!
And it caused a ruckus. We will talk about another ruckus. We will talk about Yuna, the famous skater who is being attacked, I guess is the right word, by a professor who is unhappy with her educational process.
Scandal!
We will also talk a little bit about two now comfort women memorials in the United States that are causing a kind of international ruckus.
Memorial!
And speaking of international ruckai, that's the plural of ruckus for those of you who didn't take Latin. We will talk a little bit about...
nerd!
Sort of breaking news, which is a mini-scandal with KALs, that is Korean Airlines, advertising slogan in their marketing campaign in Kenya.
Primitive!
So, to begin, Paul, why don't you start? Tell us a little bit about this IS6. Am I pronouncing that right? I only ever read that.
iOS. It's iOS, operating systems.
Yeah,
iOS 6. Dear lovely Apple have really, you know, what with the spat with Samsung, that they've not taken it to heart. They've not sided against the Korean people at all, because in their beta version with their new map system, they're going off Google Maps. They've registered Dokdo as Takeshima,
which is in Korea at least extremely arguable.
Dokdo is our land.
And do you know Dokdo?
I do.
And my first reaction was similar to yours, Paul. My first reaction was, man, Apple is pissed at Samsung. That this was some sort of Apple-Samsung thing. And, of course, if you go to some websites, the Marmot's Hole has, of course, its usual reasoned discourse on this. Some of the mouth breathers over there are attacking Apple for being anti-Samsung. Unfortunately, it turned out to be a much simpler thing, not quite as entertaining. And that is, when the pieces of this were farmed out to various subcontractors, one of the subcontractors was a software creation company in Japan, and it's an extremely right-wing company. And so it, basically, of its own accord, just looked at Dokdo and renamed it Takeshima.
So that means it's okay to buy Apple?
Which is going to come as a great relief to the millions of Koreans who can't resist the shiny aluminum splendor of Apple products.
Retina display.
Well, that's a discussion we'd need Stafford here for, but boy, that looks nice.
How much sugar did you have before this?
None!
At any rate, so that bit of news has gotten out, and I expect that at some point this will be changed.
Oh, it better be.
Back to
the Liam Court rocks, as it should be.
Right.
British, and you know it.
And this will knock down some of the controversy. I should say that it's not just the people who are ready to jump on Apple because they're allegedly anti-Samsung, but it's also people who are anti-Japan at the Korean Century site who came in with the extremely sensible advice, quote, never buy inferior Japanese nuclear radiation-tainted products ever. So it's good to see, as usual, that when something like this pops up, the web responds with its reasoned and rational discourse.
Does that go the same for Korean shellfish?
Oh, good Lord.
It makes me want to vomit right now.
Yeah, but Paul, you want to?
Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I think, is it the whole of America or is it several states? have forbidden the import of Korean shellfish.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it is either, but there's this issue. And then, of course, questions about whether or not this is tit for tat about beef things. And all of this exacerbated by the absolutely horrible story of the woman who was eating the octopus and had it lay its egg sac in the side of her mouth.
Oh, now, Charles, we should be specific. It was a squid. Not
a squid, I'm
sorry. A squid and its sperm sac.
Sorry. I get the details of these kind of things.
Oh, my God.
Why are you so opposed to the reproductive process?
I'm just opposed to anything squirting in my mouth.
Well, actually, that's not what it was. It attaches. It's like a sack with a stinger.
Oh, my God.
So it's far better.
Can we stop saying the word sack?
Okay, well, I think we've pretty much covered as much of that as we want to.
Well, I do want to say that they've had an article out about the food and what you can and cannot eat, and a lot of it's because they found that there was the bottom feeders, like crab and certain shellfish and, like, lobsters close by, they were getting the water so polluted, and that was rushing into close areas of, like, the farms and stuff by the ocean. And so that was... I can see that being a problem. I don't think that's a... I don't think you need to turn it into a conspiracy theory about, you know...
Impregnable squids?
No, not that, but like...
They're coming to get us, Daddy!
Not that, but about, like, the U.S., you know, a tit-for-tat for the beef industry, because I don't think that's... They didn't send out that large of a warning. But I did hear about it, and I know that that was something that I was concerned with, because the fish market and seafood is my favorite thing in the summer, so...
Yeah, and I didn't mean to indicate at all that I agreed with that, but there was some kerfuffle
sure
about that
didn't.
Out in, well, you know, I hate the United States. Every fiber
raging
of my...
Raging liberal.
Every fiber of my obese body. But...
Also, that's a lot of fiber.
Well, not so much fiber, really. More like a sack of something. And the other thing I would say is that seafood in general is a sort of roll-the-dice type of food, because you never know exactly where it comes from, and those kind of conditions are changeable, and the first person who ever ate an oyster was the bravest or most suicidal person in the history of mankind.
We should probably issue a podcast warning for the summer that those of you wishing to consume raw fish in Korea should be wary as to where you get it from, simply because in summer, if the fish is not fresh... you could be in for a dose of food poisoning.
Yeah, one other thing about Korea, it's super, super hot at this time when you want to be by the beach, you know, eating your...
Preferably have your sashimi flapping.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, doesn't Ten magazine have some sort of tour at the fish market, the open market here?
Norangin?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I just know that Steve has taken larger groups before in the past, and something to look into, because I've heard it's an awesome experience, but... He can point you into the right direction of what is fresh, what is not fresh. So that is my bit of advice for it. I have yet to roll the dice there.
Yeah, so. Well, I've had plenty of seafood here and have yet to have a problem, but that's never any guarantee the next one won't be the problem. So moving on. So we have this sort of ongoing, but it's sprung up again, contretemps between ice skating, figure skating champion Kim Yuna and a professor Huang Seng from Yonsei, who seems to very much resent some aspects of Kim Yuna, starting with her educational experience. Paul, you tipped us off to this one. What's your take on it?
Well, I don't know whether it's sour grapes or what it is, but Professor Huang really does seem to have something against celebrity athletes becoming teachers. The quote that was in the Jungang Daily was, the practice teaching was nothing but a show performed by a celebrity. No one can deny that she is a very busy person. I don't think Yana has attended lectures faithfully in the last 4 years, and also for the practice teaching, it is very unfair for normal students who must study hard and participate in the practice teaching to earn their degrees, because celebrities like Yana earn their degrees very easily by showing their face for a few hours at special events. It sounds like he's a little bit bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds extremely like he's bitter. And you notice something in there, the if. He's all conditional. He's got no evidence. And I found another quote, and I'm not quite sure what article this was from. It was not from that same one, where he just went on a speculative rampage. Quote, Kim is a typical case of having achieved success at an early age, so there is a high chance for her to become unhappy as she gets older. She is an celebrity at this point, but she is likely to make her exit to become a coach or professor, and there is no guarantee that she would not plagiarize in the process of getting her master's and doctorate degrees, like Moon Se-dung did, whoever Moon Dae-sung was. And that's just epically ridiculous to me. You're just foreseeing a life of crime for the woman based on the fact you don't like her.
Yeah, nothing seems to be based on fact, and everything is based on his own personal speculation.
Doesn't that seem to be the case with a lot of these stories and opinions, and that's how it gets people fired up? Well, I mean, just in the experience of, like, our past podcasts, it seems like it's all very subjective, and it's very if this or but this, and...
But the difference is, in Korea, you can sue someone for defamation, which is what Yuna did, what her management did. She's since withdrawn the suit.
Right, on a PR basis, basically. She would just like it to die.
Yes, but I think it sent a message to Hwang, especially after his first apology, which was a copy of his own signed book.
Right, that struck me as hysterical, because I've seen him very aggrieved that she did not accept his book. So it seems as though everything was ready to die down, but he felt hurt. So it just struck me as, God damn it. It doesn't seem sensible.
Didn't you just say he had a book? When did he publish the book?
I think it's also that he gets to appear on TV.
Yeah.
He's an attention seeker. He gets airtime out of this.
It's a publicity act.
Okay.
Kim Kardashian. What's she get out of it?
That's what we can do. We can equate Professor Hwang Sang-min with Kim Kardashian. You heard it here first on the Tate Magazine Cultural Podcast. That's what we're saying, Professor Hwang. If you want to sue us, when Danny is in the country, she's here for you. She will take you on.
And I will. My opinion is, the girl obviously has had an education on her own, and she's worked hard, and she obviously has some insight and some wisdom in her profession. And he sounds a little bitter, and for him, I would say he needs to kind of wake up and welcome to reality. That's how schools get publicity, and they get tuition. It's a business, like anything else. So.
Well, I will say I'm morally certain that Professor Hwang did not do any plagiarism when he was at his unnamed Ivy League college, as my article mentions, of course, because Ivy League colleges are the best.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going pretty far out on a limb on this one, so I'm reasonably certain that he's got an airtight set of degrees. But it's another one of those things that make you look at the Korean press system and go, how do they let this stuff leak through in as news?
Well, I think everybody's interested in Yuna. She's still got some mileage. All over the place in terms of her commercials, even if her athletic career is coming to an end. Recently, there was this celebrity skating show that she was hosting. So she's still very much in the public eye, and celebrity sells these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is what people want to read about. Whether you do or not, Charles, is not the point.
I could really care less about ice skating. It's somewhere between cooked dogs and children on my scale of importance. So, you know.
Oh
my God. Very then.
Yeah, very much so.
All right, well, moving on, we move to one which is semi-international news, and this is, well, Paul, do you want to talk about this one? You sent it. You want to give the overview?
Well, it's about the comfort women. Again, for those who are not in the know, during the Japanese occupation of Korea, many young women were taken from their homes, were sent to various places around the country and in Japan, and were forced into sexual slavery by the Japanese military, especially during World War II. And over the years, there have been apologies or pseudo-apologies from the Japanese, but never quite proper compensation and a proper apology for the women themselves. And so every Wednesday, for many, many years now, the comfort women, or the surviving comfort women, have had a seated silent protest outside the Japanese embassy in Seoul. And just a few months ago, a statue was put up in their honor, facing the Japanese embassy in Seoul, where they protest every Wednesday. And it's a beautiful gold-colored statue of a comfort woman sitting on a bench. And it's been, over the past few months, beautifully garlanded with teddy bears and flowers and all sorts of things, and messages of goodwill for those who support the comfort women's cause. But the big news at the moment, this month, is that there's a new memorial. And this time, it's at the Veterans Memorial at Eisenhower Park in Nassau County. It's actually the second of its kind in the country. There was one at Palisades Park in New Jersey that was set up in 2010. But the Japanese are not very happy. The Japanese government, the lawmakers, have requested the removal of these monuments. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. Charles, I mean, as an American, how do you feel about having these monuments to the comfort women in your on your home turf, as it were?
Oh, I don't mind at all, because they're primarily being put up by citizens, and we allow citizens of all sorts to put up these memorials. We have Holocaust memorials, we have a Holocaust museum, we have basically everywhere you go. If you go through California, you can find Portuguese memorials to various things. I don't think that in itself is unusual for any community that's trying to keep some sense of its identity. What I do find amusing is that the Japanese decided to make a diplomatic response to the internal matter of a sovereign nation. It just strikes me as bizarre.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess for me, I mean, they've tried to kind of, from what I've read, they've kind of tried to, let's move past, let's cover this up, let's not.
The Japanese? No, they went crazy. They had a formal
No. What I'm saying is they want to keep, like, this part of, like, this tarnished part of their history kind of covered up, move forward. They're kind of embarrassed by it. So you really think that, I think they see it as a slap in the face.
The people who are doing this are the Nippon Keigi and other right-wing politicians. They deny it happened.
Right, but so
they're deniers.
Right,
the
and I feel like, and some of the Japanese government are trying to cover this up and kind of move forward and say, okay, let's.
Well, but again, I'd make
not make it as harsh as
I'd
not make it a reality.
I'd make the equivalent argument. This would be like the German government coming in saying, please take out those Holocaust things. We don't really believe that happened anymore. And,
some people do.
Well, and they're idiots.
Yeah, but not the German government.
Yeah, the German government.
This is the difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, fair enough. There's wing nuts everywhere. Yeah. And the government, and part of, I think, just from a tactical point of view, Japan's being stupid, because I don't know. I hate to sound like Professor Huang, but I am not surprised that after the Japanese have raised an international diplomatic ruckus about the one, some other geniuses decided to put up a second, and I would be shocked if there isn't one in L.A. in 2 weeks, that the Japanese are getting exactly the reverse response of what they wanted. If they just left this, no one had ever heard of this. It was in the middle of a cemetery, the first one, I think. So, I mean, this just seems like a stunt.
I don't think it seems like a stunt. I think that they see it as something, a slap in the face, and something that these citizens are going against them, and it's kind of going through their efforts of kind of removing that from their histories.
Listen to what you said.
I'm not saying it's correct. I'm saying that's why I think it's not surprising to me that they would kind of go to that effort. I don't. No. I'm not saying that it's not. I think that's what's great about our country, and I think that's the U.S. I'm sorry, is that you can do and you can put up what you want if that's what you believe in and that's what you vote for, if that's what your money's going
for.
Or
your
blah,
private
blah, blah.
Property. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But I can totally see them reacting like this. I mean, I think it goes the same way as some of the German citizens still don't believe, and some of the other, you know, your Eastern European countries.
Two things I'd say. One, it's obviously backfired hideously because this is now internationally covered.
But for the Japanese, I think it's a matter of pride.
Well, it can be one or the other. You can't be trying to cover it up and have it be a matter of pride.
But that's what I'm saying. I think that they're trying to cover it up because it does tarnish their reputation, and they're trying to move forward as something else. And
right, but my point is to cover it up, just let it exist, ignore it.
You would think so, but it's the Japanese, they have a different mindset.
Well, either way, everyone's talking about it.
Yeah,
right.
It's become the hot issue, certainly in the Korean news, and I guess in the area in New York news, New Jersey, where the memorials are, certainly in the Korean-American community.
And the other thing is, I just don't think that in a case of something like this, it's at all appropriate for one government to intervene in the domestic affairs of another government. I think that's just, not that we haven't done, the U.S. hasn't done that in a million places a million times, but I'm saying theoretically, when it's done to us, it's different.
Well, we can get into that argument
somewhere else,
bit.
Yeah. At any rate, it was certainly go ahead.
Sorry, I just want to ask a quick question. Does anyone know anything about these particular areas? I mean, I can't imagine New Jersey being highly Korean.
Yeah, I looked at the first one, and that local population is like 50% Korean.
Really?
Yeah, it's a Korean enclave. It's a Korean enclave. That's the part of it that, yeah.
That makes sense, then.
It would be a totally different thing if someone was just running around in front of the Washington Monument.
Yeah.
But no, these have been, the first one at least was based on the, and that's why I chose Los Angeles as the next one, because Los Angeles has a Koreatown, but, you know, so does Santa Clara and so do a million other places, and this is why I would just essentially STFU if this were something that were pissing me off. I'd rather have it languish in obscurity than turn into an international
But you react differently than some people do. And some people, when they, something, you know, when it hits their pride.
Well, it definitely hit their pride because these people have created an online petition that received 25,000 signatures in 30 days, primarily from Japanese citizens.
Japanese citizens in the United States?
Or? No, Japanese citizens of Japan. And this is basically due to direct advocacy of several Japanese lawmakers and former officials. And it was a Japanese resident who in the U.S. who created the petition. But the petition has been largely advertised in Japan on political websites. So to me, it's just interference. And it would have been better left alone. And the other thing is, going back to I think we agree, I think it's wrong for Japan to deny its history in that way. The history, as Paul pointed out, has been tangled. Japan, when they argue this more rationally, argues that the Korean government did in fact accept payment in the 1960s as apology. And they say, you accepted this payment. That was our apology. This issue should be done. That's a different issue from what's happening in the United States. So, and that money, part of the problem, to be honest, is that money did not go to the comfort women. That money was immediately taken by then-President Park and funneled into the Miracle on the Han. It was turned to construction, not reconstruction. So it's a complicated thing, but dear Japan, hands off, you lazy, slant-eyed bastards.
God, this is not live.
I would never.
Oh, man.
So continuing on the international level and talking about a kind of thing we've talked about before, there's a little problem going on with Korean Airlines advertising, and that is Korea Airlines is now flying to Kenya, and in happy expectation of the Kenyan money that this would bring in, they started advertising in Kenya in English. And Danny, can you do us a favor and read that advertisement?
I believe this is their tagline of this particular market. Fly Korean Air and enjoy the Grand African Savannah, the Safari Tour, and the indigenous people full of primitive energy, the airline says.
So, I think to a nuanced ear, the problem with that is pretty obvious. But, Paul, how did you hear it?
Well, I think there are a couple of issues with there, but the biggest one, certainly with everyone, has been the word primitive. The term primitive energy. And the association of the Kenyan people with that primitive energy. It's not exactly, how can we say, a politically correct 21st century view of Kenya.
Yeah, and it gets into it. And primitive is the big problem, and then the secondary problem, depending on how you interpret it, is indigenous. I think they were trying to say tribal. When they said indigenous Kenyan people, I don't think they meant all of Kenya, even though that's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're calling all of Kenya a tribe. And the other problem with indigenous is indigenous usually implies that someone has taken over and dispossessed you of your power. When you think of indigenous people, who do you think of? Native Americans, Maori, Australians in the outback. The word indigenous is just associated with the dispossessed. So this was absolutely leaden on several levels.
Yeah, I guess you read it like that, I get the same thought, but I think of the natives, and I...
Right, well, actually, it would have been better.
To say.
And so there's a couple of different problems here. Bad word choice for primitive, and we're all agreed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indigenous Kenyan is ambiguous. It can be read to have two different meanings, one of which is insulting to all of Kenya. So you could have perhaps fixed that by saying the tribal areas of Kenya, if that's what you were trying to say. But it just doesn't excuse the overall sort of not very submerged racist sound of the advert.
I don't think that was the intent. And normally I would say not. I think they just had a bad translator. And I think they were going for go to Kenya to have this wonderful, totally different experience from what you know here.
Yeah,
in
go
Korea.
Native.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that they went a little too far. They reached a little bit too much, and it didn't get translated correctly.
But hey, they were looking for publicity, and they got publicity.
That's
Everybody
true.
Knows now that there are flights
to Kenya.
I'm sure there were other ways to do that. And by the way, if they were going to do that, they could have gotten a lot more. They could have gotten a lot more coverage by doing certain other things,
like protesting against the Comfort Women Memorial.
Or putting a bone through the nose of an airplane.
But this way
airplane,
it looks
or,
like they know what they were trying to say something different, and they were like, yeah. Oh, but we didn't, you know.
Oh, I listen, having had contact with Korean international marketing, I doubt that level of subtlety is
right.
But the other thing is, so let us for the moment say this is that problem that you identified, Danny, that they had in Korean something that made reasonable sense, and they were using Bing Translate or
right.
Google Translate. In a country like Korea, with 1 million foreigners, 500,000 of which teach English, you couldn't have an editor look at this? You couldn't have a native speaker look at that and go, oh, here's the deal with that word primitive. It's a connotation.
Yeah.
It's connotational, not definitional, but you are going to bring that connotation if you use that word.
I don't know. There's a lot of things that I see that in very large advertisements across the city that just something's off. Some little thing's off, and I feel like that's just, it would be the smart way, but maybe Paul's right. Maybe they wanted to do something that was a little bit off that they could have an excuse for, but get the advertisement for it.
I don't think that.
Or get the publicity.
Here's the deal. The other argument I'd make is I would distinguish between what's in Korea, what doesn't get out of Korea, because Konglish is fine in Korea.
Right.
Right, it fits here. I mean, it makes sense. It's the patois, if you will, if you speak German. And so that is different from an advertisement for a flight to Kenya where you know...
But where is it being... played. Where is this?
Well, I'm judging
played?
From the Twitter reaction that it got to Kenya, because there are a great deal of angry Kenyans on Twitter, and they are expressing their outrage. But again, it just gets to that failure to check with the target audience.
Maybe it's not Kenyans that are the target audience, though. Maybe it's Koreans who are looking, that they're trying to say, you need to go have a different experience.
Oh, I think...
And this is what it is.
No, I think actually that's... I think you're right. I think that is who... Right. Well, because they don't expect primitive indigenous
exactly.
people to get on planes.
Exactly.
They don't have the internet in Kenya, do they?
No, right. And to them, that's just magic. Magic, I tell you. But the problem is, Kenya is their business partner in this.
Right.
But and also that the advert was in English.
Yeah,
if
right.
they were aiming for the Korean market, the advert would be in Korean. They're aiming at the international market or for tourists wanting to visit Kenya.
Yeah.
And therefore, this kind of mistake is... Well, in this day and age, it should be inexcusable. They should have somebody who speaks English proficiently checking their website and checking their press releases to make sure that this kind of gaffe does not happen.
They could put me in a cage in just my underwear with a bucket of Cimec and just feed these things to me. And
where
I could
are those octopus when you need them?
Squids. Squy.
Octopodes.
No, it just seems this is KAL is a massive, profitable, I imagine, corporation. It should have a place for one person with perfectly vernacular English.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. But I think that, I mean, we've seen it in the past where, what was it? Which, I mean, a huge car company spelled that, like, their car was like Nova.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Went to, and that was their main car, their model going into the Spanish market,
South
or Mexican
America,
markets.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, no go. That's what Nova means. And so it was a total bust. And this was like in the 80s. This wasn't that long ago. So things like this do happen. But I completely agree. I think that probably the marketing director of this campaign should be fired.
Yeah. And I should say that Korea has been expert at learning from the experiences and mistakes of other countries and everything else. So it's time for their marketing people to get on board.
Right.
You just need to have a consultant.
Yeah.
Any firm has to have a
you can
consultant.
Hire me, Danny Sedlak.
All right. Buckets full of Cimec.
I just like to say I fly Asiana.
I fly American.
I fly American. I love Korean Air, though. I think they do a good job, but they're obviously not doing a good job. Their PR person needs to get on this lickety split, unless this is their goal.
Yeah, it's not their goal. There's no way.
Really?
Yeah, their goal is not to get... Korea has been getting pounded, relatively speaking, for this kind of insensitivity recently, so they're trying to avoid it. It's also too subtle. It's like a three-trick move in chess to people who don't know what to do with a pawn.
Okay, well...
Yeah, there's no way. They've already apologized. Of course, you'd have to either way, whether it was a brilliant scheme or a horrible
mistake.
Right, but
it took a while, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it was pretty much...
hundreds of tweets that the airline finally apologized.
Well, of course, they had to translate those tweets from English into Korean. Probably mistranslated those, too.
You mean from the native language,
yeah.
The Kenyan.
Ah, this seems to say in Kenyan patois, excellent job, Korean Airlines. So, at any rate, there we are. That is, we'll see what happens with this in the next few days. Is there anything else that we wanted to talk about, or is it time to go on to something like recommendations and call this an early one?
I think that it must be said that just a few days ago I met someone who changed my life, and I know that Charles has
Jesus?
Said about this. Well, almost. I met the soju goddess herself. I met Ihyori at a bookstore. She touched my hand. I've been
who
cured of all sickness.
Ihyori is a very, very famous singer, and he maintained her career to an unusually old age, like 24, 25, and is still...
Well, she's in her 30s now.
Yeah, she's in her early 30s now.
Presenting reality TV competitions, writing books about her and her dog and her vegetarianism.
Oh, so very in-depth interviewing and things like that, of that nature. She's very on top of it.
She's a
star. Yeah, she's just figured out how to... The shelf life of female singers in Korea is unbelievably brief, and she's the first one that has figured out how to navigate the process to some other kind of celebrity.
She's graduated, as it were.
If you will. Don't tell Professor Huang. He'll say she plagiarized.
You know who I just met? BM, Big Mama.
I don't know who that is.
She's a huge Korean singer here, like hip-hop, R&B, and they call her Big Mama. And she actually married an American American military. I believe he's an army soldier. And I met her. She's very nice.
Well, while we're talking about people we've met Saturday night, I should say
Paul Steve Revere.
You don't meet the revered.
He meets you.
And then you bask in his golden glory.
Oh, did you bow?
I basked. Oh, I didn't make direct eye contact, trust me. No, I should say that Paul tweeted 10 minutes before he met Ihyori, Charlie, there's someone here you'd probably like to see, which just was terrible of you. But that evening, I got a little bit of my own back. I went and I saw Chris Lee. And Chris Lee was from who wrote Drifting House.
I'm well aware of who she is now.
Daddy's favorite author.
She left a mark on you, didn't she?
Well, you talk about her nonstop, too. I feel like there's a little crush there.
Yeah, but I've gotten a restraining order. She can't come within 50 feet of me.
She can't come or you can't go.
Well, she might think that I'm her stalker, because the thing that I'm talking about is while I was there, I pulled out my iPhone and I actually filmed her reading from some of her works. And that's up on KTLIT. So maybe the restraining order just happened. She won't tell me where she lives. So at any rate, anyone who's interested in seeing Chris Lee sort of in her element reading a segment from her book, go to www.ktlit.com and you can see that thing.
And we should say it's really good to have book readings of What the Book, and
yes.
There should be more.
Yes.
This is hopefully the start of something wonderful.
Yeah. It was standing room only, although there was not a ton of room.
Is this What the Book in Itaewon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't there another one?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, I thought
there's a By the Book in Daegu.
Oh, okay.
So you may get confused because they, I think, chose a similar name. So my recommendation is Chris Lee's Drifting House.
Me too!
Does anybody else have a recommendation before we get out of here?
I would say if you want to beat the summer heat this July, there's one festival that supposedly all the foreigners go to, and that's the Boryeong Mud Festival. That's on at Daecheon Beach from the 14th to the 24th of July. I've never been. I'm not a big fan of diving into mud myself, though, but I do know lots of people who really enjoy it, and some of them don't get rashes.
And Charles loves to take photographs while he's there, so be sure to get all muddy.
Someone invite Chris.
Gross.
And anyway, I have been there, and I had a ball. I did not go the year that there was the rashes developed, fortunately for me. And I went.
Let's go herpes.
I did not go there the year the rashes developed. And I had a ball. I was allowed to stay relatively untainted by mud because I had three cameras and expensive lenses around my neck. Do be warned, if you go down there without some kind of mechanical protection, you are going to get smeared with mud.
But you can find more info at www.mudfestival.or.kr.
Yeah, definitely worth going to once.
All right, well, for my recommendations, I actually have a few. Pier 8, it's a new restaurant up in Itaewon. It is a Japanese fusion lounge, and it has some wonderful drinks, great food. For those of you that like sushi but may want some other side Japanese dishes, this is a great place to try.
That's run by the same guy who runs Berlin, yeah?
Yes,
yeah.
One of the owners of it, yeah.
So that's a sort of a hint that you'll get quality.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And actually, one of the AWC's events that we're doing is next Wednesday. Well, you'll be posted after this. But we're having a ladies' night there. So that's, I mean, all the ladies love it. Again, the drinks are great. The food's great. The other recommendation is just a reminder that 4th of July is coming up and the base will be open for fun activities, concerts, things like that. And the American Women's Club is also hosting a party on July 7th. We're going to do a traditional barbecue with some great food, hamburgers, hot dogs, American beer, American cocktails, just kind of setting the summer off with a little bit of American themed and traditional Korean.
American beef?
Ah, yes, we will. We'll be having everything American and traditional. We've got some kosher hot dogs if you want to come, Charles.
Steve will be there.
So if you need any more information, I know there is information about Pier 8 in 10 Magazine, as well as any upcoming events for any of the American women's groups, any of the American women group activities and any other kind of women groups in Seoul. So check it out.
Anything else? I think that's it. So, saying goodbye for the 19th Seoul.
It was our special. We're on the 19th, floor, celebrating our 19th episode.
Woo! This is Charles Montgomery saying goodbye.
And this is Danny saying adios.
This is Paul Matthews saying I'm very, very sorry.